I'm Lauren Steffi with the Houston Chronicle, and I'm talking today with Houston actor Brent Spiner. Brent, thanks for being with me.
Glad to be here, Lauren.
I wanted to talk to you, even though normally I'm a business columnist and I don't write a lot about entertainment, but I was fascinated with this new CD that you just released called Dreamland, and I thought that we could just talk a little bit about what you were trying to do with this project.
Absolutely. You know, I usually am in the entertainment division myself, and here I find myself also trying to market this thing.
Well, now, it's you're selling it primarily through your website, is that correct?
At the moment, it will soon be on Amazon and iTunes, but I wanted to do it on my website first and see what happened there.
Well, now, tell us a little bit about how this came together. This is a very, very different kind of CD, which I want to get into in a minute, but kind of give us a little overview of it.
Well, I'll give you a brief overview. I co-own a recording studio with a friend of mine named Dave Way, who is a Grammy Award-winning engineer and mixer. And I've done a CD in the past some time ago, and I thought, you know, it's time to do another one. I've been saying for years, as soon as I get used to losing a whole lot more money, I'll do another one. And I got used to it, so I thought, let's do another one. I don't have to pay for recording time because I have the studio. And so Dave said, yeah, let's do it. And we started thinking about it and thinking about it. And, you know, I'm not primarily a singer. I am an actor, although I've sung on Broadway many times and have, as I said, done another CD. But I really sort of think of myself as an actor who sings. And so I wanted to do something that was a little more high concept and sort of, if the concept was good enough, it would forgive my singing. And not that I'm terrible, mind you, but, you know, I'm not a vocalist. And so I did that, and I came up with a concept, and it turned out to be more of a we like to think of it as sort of an audio film. And it's a story. There are songs. I have other actors on the piece. I have a co-star who sings with me, a woman by the name of Maud Maggart, who is maybe the best singer in America right now, if not the world. She's just a brilliant, brilliant vocalist. And got Mark Hamill from Star Wars and many, many other things to do all the other male roles on it. And I have backup singers and a full orchestra and excellent arrangements by a friend of mine named John McKinney. And there you have it.
And let me just jump in here, because Mark Hamill has done a lot of other voice work, as I understand it, right? I know he's been in some animated films and things like that.
Yeah, and he does a lot of cartoon voices. You know, for like Batman, I think he's the Joker on Batman, the cartoon series. But he has a really flexible voice, and he has a lot of variety. And, you know, you'll see that if you listen to the CD. He does several characters, and they're all kind of wonderful.
One of the things that really struck me as unusual about this CD is that this is an era of music downloads, of song by song. You know, people don't buy CDs anymore, right? They buy just the songs they want. How do you sell something like this? I mean, this has to be listened to in its entirety.
Well, that's a good question. And certainly the best way to listen to this is in its entirety. Eventually we will, you know, we do have downloads of various numbers. We did them as scenes because we think of it more like that. And you will be able to download from iTunes eventually and just download numbers. But as you say, it really is sort of an experience. And the music business being what it is today, and the difficulty in selling music now, particularly a full CD, that was part of the idea behind having a story involved too, that it's really more than just a series of songs. It's actually an experience, and hopefully that would encourage people to pick it up and, you know, put it on their iPods or put it in their cars and listen to it from beginning to end.
And do you, what's the response been so far? I mean, to that idea that you would listen to this all together?
It's been surprisingly good. I mean, you know, granted, I think most of the sales so far have come from my sort of fan base, but to be honest with you, I'm kind of surprised by how positive the reaction's been from younger people, because the music is, you know, it's from the Great American Songbook, it's standards, it's music that's 50 years old in some cases, and older, much older. 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. And but I think that people are getting into the idea of listening to it as an experience. And you know, a lot of people have equated it to something akin to a radio play. It certainly inspires that, but it isn't that. And it's more of a, I don't know. I don't know any radio play that sounds like this exactly. But what's interesting to me is that the younger people who are listening to it and buying it don't equate it to radio at all, because they don't know from radio. Mm-hmm. So for them, it's just this completely new experience of being transported for 50 minutes into another world.
Have you given any thought to sort of a multimedia aspect to this, to maybe doing, like, I don't know, some YouTube videos or something like that that would tie into this? Or,
well,
does that kind of get away from the mission?
Well, you know, the mission was to do a CD. And certainly a lot of people who've heard it have said, well, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to do a show? Are you going to do it on stage? Are you going to do a concert? Are you going to do a film? What are you going to do with it? And really, if we do nothing more with it, that's fine with me, because the idea was to do a CD that was something that engaged your imagination. And however, that being said, I could see it being, you know, a lot of other things. And I think it might be really interesting to do as a concert with multimedia, like you say. And I'd need someone to do sound effects, because the sound effects are a big character on the piece. They're a character unto themselves. And we're talking to people about the possibility of doing it as an animated film. But who knows? It could wind up just being what it is, and that would be fine too.
In some ways, the technology that has made music more compartmentalized, I guess, seems to also help with this sort of thing. I mean, like you say, you have all the sound effects and the technology here. I mean, talk a little bit about the sort of the technical benefits of what we have at our fingertips these days.
Well, yeah, I mean, we were able to actually cut the piece as if it were a film, musical of the mind is the way we were talking about it while we were doing it, because we were trying to use, you know, digital effects, sound effects, and create enough of imagery with them that you could picture every moment of it. You could place yourself in whatever scene that the characters were in. And that was another thing, when you compare it to radio, well, the effects on radio are so much more primitive that... One, like, for example, there's one sequence where we're on a cruise line, on a ship, and we never say, oh, well, here we are on a ship, which they do on radio. They say, boy, it's great being here at sea. Well, we don't have to do that, because the effects are so much more sophisticated. You know instantly you're on a ship and you're at sea.
Do you think that there are broader implications in the music industry for more of these types of projects going forward, or is this the kind of thing that has to be sort of almost pet projects for people like yourself that just want to do them?
You know, that's anybody's guess, but I have a feeling that you're going to see more of this. I think you're going to see more, you know, in the music industry, a reason to buy the full product and listen to it. You know, when, you know, it's such a different world now. It used to be that people would tour so that they could sell their CDs, and now they sell their CDs so that they can get people to go to their tours, which tells me maybe I should do a show.
Right, the whole thing's kind of turned around.
It really is. But I think we'll see more of this. I really do. I think we'll see people trying to stretch their imaginations and come up with something that would be, you know, the primary goal was to entertain. I think you're just going to, yeah, I think you'll see a lot more of that in the future.
So what's next on your agenda now that this project is done?
Well, I'm trying to sell it. You know, that's turning out to be a whole project in itself that I didn't anticipate.
You're a marketer now.
I'm telling you, I'm looking at every possible angle. If you've got any, let me know, because on this. But I think I will, actually, by the way. But I've got a few ideas. I've got a few things going. There's a documentary I'm really, really interested in making. And we'll see if that happens. I don't know.
And I promised you we wouldn't talk about Star Trek very much, but I do have to ask, is there going to be another film?
Well, there is another Star Trek film coming.
With your cast, I guess.
Oh, with the Next Generation? You know what? You know, Sean Connery said never say never, so who knows? But I would say probably not. At least for me, I honestly think I've finally hit the unfortunate age where I would look ridiculous in that makeup. You know, there's an old saying, you know, too old to cut the mustard anymore. Well, I think I'm too old to wear the mustard anymore.
Well, listen, Brent, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
Pleasure, Lauren. Thank you so much.
We've been talking with Brent Spiner for the Houston Chronicle. I'm Lauren Steffi.